And welcome back to the Varangian Heresy, episode 128. On this magnificent episode, we are going to talk about the Tales of Heresy 5, the event in the far up north. To celebrate this game in north, we today have three northerners against my own southern soft pansiness. And in that regard, we have one guest who's from very far away. We have all the way from Blighted England. Where's that? Old Blighty. I keep mixing him up. Well, I've been there. We have Max from Barefoot Studio. Say hello, Max.
Hello. Hello, Max. Yes, I nailed the joke. Straight into it. How is everyone doing?
Well, I'm fine. Thanks for asking. And bringing me up, we also have out to the far, far right, we have the organizer and arranger of the event. From the furthest part of the north for today's podcast, we have Mr. Moritz. Say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Ah, yes. Four men, four dad jokes. This will do well. And remaining, we have from the now highly active, well-renowned, and one of the first Horse Heresy podcasts in Sweden, we have Jens.
Alive and kicking.
You missed that international man of heresy.
Yeah, but I mean, Freddy is here.
I need to reclaim that title.
The issue is Freddy goes to like Las Vegas on an annual basis, so I have no claim to that. I guess, Max, you're an international man of heresy at the moment.
No, he's Jens. He's the immortal, the inevitable Jens.
The first, the one, the only.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's Highlandered him yet, so he has to retain that title.
Did you like knight Jens while I was looking away? You do have a lot. Yeah, but you live in the countryside. Like, everybody has swords out there, Jens.
That is true.
Swords and ketamine. One will inevitably lead into the other.
Yes. Guess which one I started with.
I don't know, but I guess it's going to end with somebody's cousin getting remarried for good or bad.
Cousin? Here we call it wife.
So, we are going to be talking about the Tales of Heresy, the event in the northern part of Sweden, which recently took place. As of this recording, it was last week. But before we do that, just going to do a quick round table. What's on your painting table right now? Joachim Moritz.
Well, I'm doing some Dreadnoughts and Daradeos. Possibly a Death Guard. So I'm just gluing and feeling in the fumes.
For those of you that don't know, Joachim Moritz, probably after me and Freddy, owns the largest amount of legions of anybody I know. How many legions do you not currently have, like in a small detachment or army of right now?
Oh, I not have.
Yeah. It's quicker that way, I figure.
Well, I sold off one legion to one of our friends up here. So I'm currently, I think I have 7 or 8.
Only 7.
Excluding custodes and demons, so 10 armies, I guess.
Are you ever going to get Mechanicum? Has that wound healed from 1.0?
I might have a box of dirty robots.
Do you do anything except to just like bring him out and yell at them loudly in a stern manner before you put him away again? Or?
Well, it's second hand, so I take them out, look at them, and like poorly painted miniatures and don't clean them up and stash them away again.
I mean, that's what you're supposed to do with your like spontaneous purchases, right? You bring him out, you look at him, you're like, yes. This will be a project. Yes, one day this will be a perfect project. Just ensconce myself in and truly let out my artistic integrity. And then you put them away for a couple of years.
Yeah. Precisely so.
It is known.
It is known. On that note, Jens, what are you working on right now?
I'm working on a secret miniatures project.
So if you ever want to know what it's like to be blue-balled over podcast, now you have.
Well, everyone here knows it. It's I'm making my own medieval skirmish game with the help of Max and you and some other dudes proofreading my stuff, playtesting. So I'm going to paint lots of Normans.
I genuinely hope that one of the people involved in the proofreading is whatever the medieval equivalent is of a rivet counter. I guess like chainmail link counter or whatever. They're like, well, actually, Jens, the javelin as defined in your document hardly correlates to the technology used at this age.
Well, that would be me then.
Yeah. I really hope so.
Research has begun.
Why are you watching Spartacus in the living room again, my husband? Shh. I'm researching. Watching the orgy is of important antiquity note.
Very important.
Damn it, we talked about this.
Now you talk over the scene, now I have to watch it again. Cool.
Now I have to watch these men make sweaty muscular love for research. Damn it. Speaking of doing intensive research before you ever get into a project, Max, what are you working on right now?
Oh, I thought you were going to say speaking of sweaty men.
Low-hanging fruit.
So I am currently working on peasants, just lots and lots of peasants. And I'm almost through the first unit, which is 30 of them. So I'm just about to put UV resin on the bases as soon as we get off this podcast. And that'll be the first month's challenge complete of a fantasy slow grow.
Nice. I think using UV resin in England has to have like the inherent challenges of using it in Sweden, because that's like a 5-day project. We put it outside. Ah, yes, the sun will cure this.
Yeah, so it says 5 to 10 minutes on a sunny day, but this was made in Spain. So I imagine you're about right on that guesstimate of the time it'll take.
5 minutes in England.
Yeah.
And I am working on my Siege of Terror Death Guard minis. I've got a bunch of new ones from like the later editions. What is it, like AFED, when they released the Death Guard?
So you're going more chaos-y on the look of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, initially I did like 2x7 of Plague Marines, because you can use them in Imperial armor, the racks. You can take, like, if you use the third book, you can have like one. Max, you got flabbergasted right now. You can have a squad of 7, because, you know, Nurgle's number, of Plague Marines in a Rhino as an elite choice, and you can take a Plague Champion as an HQ choice. So I'm using these for my like Imperial Armor of Rax army, but I also realized I could use them for like a late themed Siege of Terror, since I'm trying to do a visual representation of when I do Creeping Death as opposed to the Reaping. I kind of wanted these for the late war part of it. And a bunch of them are just like in the act of throwing grenades, which are these neat like potato mashers that the Germans had, so I can use them for models representing the toxin grenades that the Death Guard can take in 2.0.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm going old school using the old Rogue Trader Plague Marines.
Oh yeah, those are nice.
The ones like that, like with the falter forwards and the knife and the cloven hoof and belly.
Yes. Max is holding his hands in a perfectly 45-degree angle out to his sides. He has forgotten once again this is a oral medium and not the visual medium he usually acts upon.
Well, it's not the one pose. It's the even. I think they're even older. The mutated ones.
Oh, like the metal ones where you had to buy them like one a piece.
Yes.
I like to joke about the age of our co-host, but I think those might actually be older than Jens.
Probably.
I think they're from 88.
Yeah, that's older than me and older than Max. He is younger than me. Don't forget.
Stop trying to make Max the butt of our age jokes.
Well, he is a small, small boy.
He's a small, small boy. Should I be worried that you're making a game about antiquity and you roped Max in as a, quote, young boy helping you out?
Yes, he is my small hairless boy.
We're not Max, focusing are you in on danger? Catholic priests, so he's fine.
Yeah, because they invented pediatry, you think. Have you ever read anything about antiquity, Max?
Read? No.
It's not the sort of values you get going to Eton, Christopher. You bully a younger man to read for you.
Exactly. I just want everything narrated to me.
I can see you pushing a bookish boy around to read to you. Now, read of me of Hadrian, child. I'm going to bed smoking this opium pipe.
Okay. How did we go from RT miniatures to this?
Oh, no, this is just the natural flow and ebb of our discussions. This is where we wind up.
Okay.
Chris is taking the podcast to new heights.
Yes, or plumbing it to even lower depths. It's never quite clear. That said, I convened this Council of Greatness and then invited myself because I want to know more about the event, which unfortunately I couldn't attend at the last minute, which again, I'm sorry about. I hope it didn't cause too many issues with like setting up matches, because I know that's always an issue when somebody drops out at a late instance. For Scandals last year, we had somebody just not show up on the day. They'd paid and everything, send it, let's just didn't show up. We didn't find out weeks later where they were. Apparently, they had like some kid thing they need to fix, like their kid was going to go on a play date and then they forgot to travel. Unclear. So Joachim, you recently yep. had an event. It's Tales of Heresy number 5. Do you want to like walk us through the basic narrative of the event, and if you like had any special niches about setting up lists, where we are time wise
okay, so Tales of Heresy number 5, this started out as Jens' co-host on his podcast did the first event, just to bring us together when the heresy was younger. And we sort of kept up to that, so there's 4 of us arranging this, and we continued on that year by year, trying to make it better and better. And we started out trying to do it like the narrative story from Heresy 3, I think. So we started with the planet on Heresy 3. Tales of Heresy 4 was the planet was now besieged, and we tried to move to the city. And now we had the epic Titan battle in Tales 4. And now we fought over the battlefield where the Titans fell. So we had the narrative game was Zone Mortalis, 1500 points in the dust and debris from Titans. And this was for the loyalists to throw out the traitors from the planet. And we had 3,000 points on every other table to sort of give advances to your corresponding fellow player in the Zone Mortalis table. So this was the breaching of the walls and throwing out the traitors, or if the traitors could just chew in and stay on the planet.
That I think it's an It's an interesting flip on the entirety of the perspective, because you usually have like a number of smaller Zone Mortalis games, and if you win something there, you can get like a slight bonus for bigger ones. But you guys flipped the narrative, and that sounds really interesting. It also explains, because I went through the pictures, you know, again, just because of living out my dreams of going to events for other people. Everybody here knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I did notice that there were a bunch of like Titan-themed frame pieces. Like a big warlord head and like smaller pieces. And so I think the theme and the games themselves look very appropriately themed. I'm not going to make you go through like 1, 2, 3, 4, but have the traitors as a rule 1 or like loyalists, or has been like a dead running so far?
Well, the first two, the traitors had a massive advantage and just swept the entire scene, sort of saying. But our last two events, the loyalist has turned the tables in the last two turns and won both. So now the traitors are thrown out and we are going to do an entirely different thing the next time, because now this planet is loyalist owned.
Well, time to burn it to the ground.
Yep.
Bring the virus bombs.
Yep. Basically, Mortarion has like he has an envelope like, hey, hold on, guys, I got a plan for this. And he has to open up, so it's like, ah, yes. Good old rock. Never fails me.
Good old virus bomb.
Good old virus bomb. Nothing
my
could
oldest
ever,
friend.
Nothing could ever go wrong. Get me my most trusted advisor, Typhus, the betrayer. Come to me. Help me out. Do this critical thing.
Yep. So, and the event, we had 30 seats. We filled up 28 of them, and then due to illnesses and stuff and family and all that shenanigans, we ended up with 25 players playing on all our tables.
Nice. I saw pictures and like I've always spoken to people. Seemed like everybody had a really good time out of it.
Yeah, I mean, we're still talking to people. What could we improve, or what didn't sit right with the attendees? And I think we did a fairly good job. Everyone was so far satisfied. So for context, this is done in a hotel. So we rent an entire basement in the hotel, their conference setting. And we also, you can have your room at the hotel, and we have the event dinner at the hotel as well.
So convenient.
Yeah, and it's a real nice hotel. I had to stay there two days before the event.
So it's like the old man's dream. Good beds and good food.
Yeah, you don't have to like crash on a futon or like share your space with students or constantly answer questions on why we're not playing 40K or if this is that game, 40K.
Yeah. And also there is a bar adjacent to this hotel. So you can go to the bar and bring your beer into the hotel. So we could be totally enclosed from other people. Just gamers in a basement.
Fat. Again.
As God intended.
Yeah, the dream. We could just be isolated from the rest of the world.
Yep.
Yeah, one thing to say is it was a really nice venue, and I would say the best event food I have had at any event.
Cool.
Full stop. Like it's normally it's like, oh, let's just get a burger or some Domino's or something. And the quality of the food was nice. Enjoyed it. And it was nice to have just a sit-down meal with everyone after the event and get a chat, event debrief.
That's what you want, because usually on the day itself, it's so hectic and like your mind is going everywhere. You've got to think about your lists and rules and what you're playing. So like it's at the after like scramble dinner that you usually get together and can have a nice calm chat about everything. And like you have a couple of good memories from your matches and like a couple of grudges you need to set out. So I think like the post, that's something we need to do better for Scandus. The post game dinner or like post event dinner is like really good for getting people together.
Yeah, and also for the event, we had actually one comp or whatever you want to call it. There was only one dreadnought per 1,000 points, as we figured that is the most overpowered unit. So just bring it down more to level. And my reflections is that next time we will do, if you have a Primarch, you will fight on the Primarch table. You won't fight with a Primarch. Because
is the Primarch?
They are unreasonably strong.
Jens, what did you do?
I'm innocent this time. No Primarchs on my part.
Yeah, there is no surprise lion like they wanted.
The thing is, I we didn't have anyone complaining. It's just my thoughts of meeting Primarchs and fighting with Primarchs. Like they are really, really, really strong, and they boost their armors as well very much. So I think it's fair to either have, all right, this is the Primarch battles, and this is the non-Primarch battles, just to let people enjoy it more and not, I mean, of course you can enjoy fighting a Primarch, but it's a little skewed battle.
I don't know, all of this talk about people enjoying their games and having fun, I don't know how I feel about that, Shuke. The people are there for your sake.
Yes.
No, like I was, I wonder why people don't come more to our events. No, like I was thinking about what you said before about collecting feedback. In my experience, like the people who will get in touch unsolicited are the people who are like really unhappy. If you have to reach out and talk to people like, hey, what do you think? That's just because you had a really good time.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. I mean, I want to do these events where we meet and play and have fun. That's the main thing. Just do it a good event. So that everyone leaves with like Max said, okay, best event food. Great. Check on that box. So the next time, try to do it better and just keep it because, yeah, we're friends.
Yeah.
We should play friendly games.
And it should be like a tight community where everybody has a good time. And I think taking criticism, whether you agree with it or not, is like a step to getting better.
Yeah.
And that wasn't my only good thing about the event, by the way.
Too late. Too late.
That was just the one that came to mind because usually event food is so dismal.
But no, Max, we have noted your damning of faint praise. What was the event like? The food was really good. what about I said the food was really good?
The venue. The venue. Mm.
There was a venue and the food was great. What about the rest of it? What about the rest of it?
Yeah, the venue had dumbbells in every room.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, it did.
The workout in the morning.
You know there's a gym just next door, right? You could just go through the hotel's first floor.
I'm too lazy to do that when I can just use dumbbells in bed. Literally on the bedside table.
You were like, well, I'm already married. Why should I put any more effort in?
Time to let everything go to the dogs.
Go get the dad bod, we all did. So, and for the scenarios, we did a sweep of the internet just to get the inspiration, and we thought that Goonhammer really fit what we wanted to have. So we shamelessly nicked their concept and rewrote some of it for our event. And
you hear Max, he's speaking your language. They nicked it.
Don't be putting stealing on me. That's all the Scousers.
So anyways, what I was about to say is that those, we try to focus on line troops, that you have to have line just to make more towards troops than elites, which I myself cheated as I used Pride of Legion. Yeah.
Everybody has to follow these rules. However, it's my living room and my PlayStation, and if you don't like it, y'all can go to fuck home.
Yeah.
Good play.
But it is a legit strat to do the Pride of Legion. You're only gaining the two the two line choices. But like, I think with the saying it's stealing the Goonhammer missions, it's taking the good ideas from there. Like, I really like those Goonhammer missions. And taking the good ideas from whatever places itself creative.
I would say stealing with a wink. I mean, we all get the inspiration, and of course you can rewrite stuff that you find to make it your own. But I'm not into that. I would give Goonhammer all the credit in the world for this, because they inspired me to take their missions, do something, some minor configurations for our event, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they would be stupid to put it on the internet.
Yeah. So, shall we? You actually played in this event, didn't you, Joachim?
Yeah. Well, so all the event organizers play if we can. Otherwise, we walk around and talk up to the people. Just make them feel good.
If you don't know, what you do as a TO is you walk around and you gently ask people, have you remembered to go to the bathroom? Do you know when the next game is? Are you aware that there are 10 minutes until lunch?
Jukke was also very helpful during the Armisen Parade section. Got to ask him questions about how to vote, exactly how many votes am I supposed to cast? Am I supposed to write two names or one name? Very so helpful.
Myself?
Yeah. This is, can I vote on myself? This is the running gag on this event, that I try to do votes and everyone is just buzzing me with questions and really, really stupid questions. Like, take one note, put down two names. Should I take two notes? Fuck off. And then we just continue like that for 2 or 3 hours.
Are you sure it's a joke? Because I've seen perfectly functional, intelligent people with PhDs ask me stuff like, it says name at the top. Is that my name? Do I write my name at the top? And you're like,
I choose what? To say that it's pulling my leg, because otherwise I would lose even more faith in humanity.
So, like, I mean, Max, Jens, you guys went there. Like, Max, you brought your mechanic army, right?
Yes. So, I was going to bring Ultramarines. Ooh. And I didn't finish them in time, as is traditional about half the time for events, I think. But once you have a painted army, the desire to finish more goes down.
Oh, but, yeah. But that's just true, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, I brought Mechanicum and had a tooled out Archmagos with 9 Myrmidax with 9 Thalax. This is for my ZM list. I had 4 Myrmidon Secateurs with Plasma Fusils, and they're okay. And then 3 Domitar. And then my main list sort of changed around a little bit, which I think we should get to when we're going through the actual games.
Jens, what did you bring? So no Lion.
No, but I brought my Dark Angels and my Sisters of Silence.
And I think, Max, you recently released a video on the Sisters of Silence, right?
We did, yeah. Me and Jens took me through the Sisters of Silence.
Yeah.
So that we could all get about 5% smarter on the Sisters of Silence. That was the goal for the video, was try and make Sisters of Silence slightly less obscure. Because we were never going to make them fully.
No, and now I think we're up to like 7.5% that I understand of the list.
Well, to be fair, like with stuff like Militia or Solar Auxilia, most people have like a framework of what it does because it's basically Imperial Guard, and like Solar Auxilia, you either know everything about it or you know nothing because it's pretty intuitive. But with Sisters of Silence, it's like I'm like, what is this? Is this like a scout? And it's like, no, that's a pursuer squad. Oh, what do? Do they hunt me down? No, they actually counter infiltrate. Okay, what's this? They have swords. Yes, that's a counter charging squad. It's what? What about these guys? Yes, that's my beast handlers. And why do they have a psychic crocodile? You'll see soon, okay?
Don't worry about the crocodiles.
Don't worry about the crocodile. He'll get you. Okay. So, like, did you have a fun time playing base-like humans in Sol Mortalis?
I didn't use them in Sol Mortalis because I can't paint enough Sister of Silence to actually build a 1,500-point Sol Mortalis list. That would make me... I need to paint like 30, 40 more Sisters of Silence to get to that level.
I'm silently judging you in Militia right now, but go on.
Yeah. But I use my Dark Angels for the most of the heavy lifting, so to say. And that worked out not very well at all.
I look forward to getting deeper into that when we go through the games.
Yes.
Jukke, do you want to talk about what you brought?
Well, I brought Savitar, and as he's the captain of the first company, the Atramentars, I brought, of course, four squads of Terminators, deep striking. And, of course, the Night Lord's favorite, Pinning Psyker, a squad of Sniper Marines, and a tactical squad, two Dreadnoughts and one Darudeo. Savitar, of course, had his RT luxury Land Raider that's almost like a Rhino in size. So that would be like it.
You had the advantages of supreme perfection, but also the advantages of a slightly smaller profile on the battlefield.
Yes.
And who wrote the rules again?
I.
Ah, yes. Okay. Very well. So, like, you showed up on day one. Everything was, like, set up and cool. I saw you guys had, like, prepared the day before, which, again, I'm envious. Max, you roll up, you go in, you're like, you're chatting to old friends, you're saying hello to everyone. Stefan was there, friend of the podcast, shout out. You step up, you have your first game, and who did you face?
I actually faced Jens here. We played on the ZM Mega Battle in the first game. So,
and you say Mega Battle, sorry for interrupting you. Does that mean that like there are more than two parts involved, or...?
Yes, so, UK, do you want to go through it, or should I?
Sorry, I forgot. We have six players on the Sol Mortalis table, so it's two standard tables divided in three zones and bridges that were the objectives. You have to take the bridges to score points.
Oh!
So six bridges, two large and four small bridges. And you can also destroy the bridges and deny people points, or keep the bridges for more reinforcement points.
And just like a quick question, how much time did you have? Was it like 3 hours for a game?
We had 4 hours per game.
Oh, cool. That's really smart. Because I think the more players you add, there's also like a level of intricacy, and it takes more time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have four sets of games. So
okay. So I got to ask, was like Max and Jens set up against each other, or did they just like switch with people so they could play against each other the first game?
Well, since people are getting more seasoned in Heresy, I just said that, okay, choose one general on each side, divide them, choose one general, and they chose Pontus, as we have met. I met him a few times on Beleriand or Scandus. And then they took Anders, who is the Dark Angel, other Dark Angel player, and he's one of the guys up here, has played a lot, so they were given the task to get people together. And some people did, I think, by their own, and just told their general, like a fairly free-for-all sort of thing. But the generals were there to, if someone was didn't get a battle, just to scoop them up with some other players.
So shout out
my,
to
end of my explanation. Sorry, Max.
No, shout out to Pontus, friend of the podcast, who got to do a lot of cat wrangling, it sounds like, or cat herding.
Yeah.
Yes,
Pontus,
certainly.
I don't have a game and I don't want to say hello to a new person. What do I do?
Well, that was essentially my strategy because in the first game I strategically didn't organize a game because I thought the best would be if I filled in into the wherever the enemy was strongest, and of course that was against Jens.
Yeah, so, I am very strong.
We ended up facing across the ZN, across each other, and decided that we would have a gentleman's agreement across the entire table to not destroy the bridges. Because it felt like we could maybe kill the bridges quite fast with what we'd all brought for this game.
Yeah.
I think it's sound because when you go to a new country, you don't want to burn too many bridges.
And if I would say that, we had these guys in a separate room. not Max and Jens, but the Somotalis was in a separate room. And we kind of let them figure out themselves if they wanted to change some rules and settings, just because that would be a funnier game in the gentleman's agreement. So some of those we took to the next game and said, okay, this was on the last table. We should do the same thing here. What do you think? And so we kind of adapted to what the players wanted to do. And I agree with Max that, okay, this could break. If you see something that this could break the scenario, then talk about it and don't do it. It's not supposed to be broken. It's supposed to be fun to play.
So yeah.
Good. Yeah, I think empowering the players to that extent, it just basically give people a certain amount of set responsibility and they usually tend to respond to it pretty well, at least way better than like, these are the stringent rules you have to adhere to. That very rarely plays out because we are adults and most of us have played a lot of war games. So like, you intuitively see what's going to work and what you can abuse. So you can be one of two people. Somebody tries to improve the game or somebody tries to just abuse it and go and brag on the internet. Like yeah. The time I won over Max in 2015 when...
The fake news campaign has started already.
Oh, yeah. No, it started from the day we met and he said, hello, my name is Max.
Yeah, so moving swiftly on from that slander. Yeah, me and Jens played a fairly good game. Jens, you managed to demonstrate how... basically how murderous strike swords work against stompy
yes.
robots quite well.
Hey, Max, what does murderous strike do against robots? A fucking lot, apparently.
Yes.
It was fairly effective, I will say. Like my domitar were three domitar were left on one wound in the entire unit, so that's 14 wounds done.
Whoa.
In one turn. From what was it, 5 Terminators and a Predator?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty brutal. Because I was expecting them. So I had my Domitar go right as a like fake out so that my Thalax moving fast could like also stack right and then go left by the end of the game. And the Domitars did not hold up any of Jens's units for any length of time. In fact, I think they actually catapulted Jens's units closer to our lines.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, so that was certainly a failure on the Mechanicum's part there. However, it turned out by a stroke of luck, the Myrmidon Secateurs did quite well. Is what
luck or tactical genius, Max?
Or cheese?
Luck. I'd say luck in... when the Mechanicum book was being written, clearly on the day that they wrote the Mechanicum Myrmidon Secateurs, they woke up on the right side of the bed and made them incredibly good. That was where the luck came in. It, not even dice rolls, just Myrmidons are really good, right?
Napoleon said that having luck sometimes translates into a general having incredible skills.
Well, what can I say? I take after Napoleon. And the secateurs did incredibly well on the left flank, stomping up the board.
So basically, you're like, the first legion came and saw that somebody else possessed murderous robots, and they took offense to that.
We did.
Yeah, exactly. It's only the ex-Indio automata, is it, allowed on the table? So, yeah, in the end, the game was very close, I think.
Yeah, I think it could have swung either way.
Yeah, so it came down to it. Out of the six bridges, we each had two of the smaller bridges, including like with our teammates there as well, helping out. And each had one of the bigger bridges. So that was equal on points at that level. And
I think you got D3 plus one victory points for the small ones and D6 plus one on the big ones.
Yeah. So I think we had an additional point for the Blood Tide or whatever it's called, where you kill like elite units.
Yeah.
And then it came down to rolls of the bridges. So Jens, did you roll any dice for this?
I did roll one die. I think I rolled like three or something.
Gaining 2 points for the team.
Yeah. So that was pretty well done.
Yeah. Then the other two players on your side rolled the dice and I think got like a one victory point and a two victory points, let's say.
Yeah.
And then my team rolled their dice and it was three sixes.
Yeah.
So it all came down to the dice roll for VPs.
Yes.
It reminds me of when you used to play like in the first Horus Heresy game tourneys and we had like, what was it called? War of Lies?
Yeah.
And, like, you kept winning and or losing for five rounds. And then like, well, it turns out I actually rolled the best dice having done so one this entire 5-hour ordeal.
Yeah.
So you won. Well done, Max.
Yeah, victory. It's just what I always wanted. Victory over Jens. And I could have just left there because that was happiness, entire happiness.
I think Dustin achieved everything he came for. Max left the event, eating dinner for the rest of the event.
Exactly. So that was our round one. Yukim, what actually went on in round one for the actual mission? That is it, as in, because we didn't play the mission for round one.
Oh, the mission one. It was six objectives, and if you held one objective, you got points, 1 point for each objective from second turn forward. But if you held two objectives, if you held one objective, you could move an unhold objective and put it somewhere where you held the objective.
Ooh.
You gather objectives on one spot. So if your opponent doesn't have his three composite objectives, you could move one of his objectives towards your side or your strong point. So what? So that was the victory conditions.
And did you hit any snags? Like somebody who didn't quite understand it, like started moving stuff willy nilly, or?
Well, I mean, I didn't go around looking. I was playing against militia, so I had a great game against Emil, because this was Night Fight, Night Lords, Deep Striking, Pinning. I was like overjoyed that I finally my Night Lords would do what they do best and slaughter innocent people.
Wait, is this? Are we thinking about the same Emil? Did he used to live in Sweden?
Well, he does live in Sweden.
Oh, I mean Stockholm. Sorry.
No.
Okay, so
Hudiksvall.
Okay, so he doesn't have. He's not the guy who has the militia army where there are people who are indentured servants in prisoner uniforms.
Nope.
Okay.
These were painted and fantastic conversions towards the 1700 Caroline.
Oof.
With the cavalry and infantry, everyone had these fantastic hats from the 18th century. The Carl Lewis armies. So, anyways,
Max doesn't understand why everybody else in the chat suddenly got a weird history boner.
Yeah,
he's like, "Do you guys want to be alone?" Or,
well, anyways, I put up my army against this horde of people that I knew I would scare and kill. That was like, this is going to be fantastic. But then you have the reserve rolls, and those weren't great at all. So I was pummeled for 4 turns, and he also immobilized my transport, so I had to foot slog with everything. And also it turns out that he has those Alcan jackets, so leadership doesn't decrease.
Oh, yeah, boy. That's the way to do it.
Fucking whip masters or whatever they're called. So
he just discipline masters, don't you forget it.
Just shot someone in the face and didn't run. So I was kind of disappointed at my Night Lords until turn 4. Then I dropped down 21 Terminators, and Jesus Christ. That kind of ripped up his whole army. So it looked like tactical geniusly, just saving them until they were needed. So if you would do a TV series of this, it would be the tactical genius, but this was just pure luck / unluck. So they dropped down automatically in turn 4 and swooped up every objective on the table. So I was in turn 4 at the start, I was 0-5, and at the end of turn 5, I was 6-5.
Do you know what like the untold disadvantage is in facing militia?
No.
I can tell you this after having played militia at an event and played it like for a half a year. If you win with militia, you're lauded as some sort of like insane genius who's always celebrated for actually winning with a subpar army. But if you lose with if you win against militia, it's like you still seem like a bully. You're basically winning over baseline humans with like AK-47s with your super future space guns.
Yes.
You'll never be like celebrated for winning against militia, regardless if it's a hard game. That's good on you.
But
it seems like a tight game.
Well, it was a really fun game. It came down to that I had like, if I didn't make that charge, it would have been a draw. So I made a charge and won. So it was fun. It's really fun just having that desperation. Like, I need my reserves. Where's my fucking reserves? Yeah, that was really fun game.
As a militia player, you always struggle against like Terminators. Tanks, you can usually like handle, but like Terminators are, those and Contemptors are the bane of your existence.
Yep.
So now you had lunch, and I believe Max had a semi-erotic dining experience at the event.
Well, the lunches are you go where you want to go, because we don't do the lunches because people have so much preferences towards what they want to eat. So everyone got a burger or pizza or whatever, because this is in the Umeå city as well. So you don't have to go very far.
There's like a lot of fast food places close to that hotel. There's like a Bastard Burgers just across the street. There's a Subway, a sandwich place just across the street. There's pretty much everything.
Yeah.
What do you take us for, Chris? We went for sushi.
I mean, sushi in the Nordland. I always knew we were an optimist, Max, but...
he was good. Well, I thought you were going to say something about the eating sushi off a naked person. And the <don't know. laughs>
If you asked for that sort of like semi-erotic dining experience in Nordland, I would love to have heard what they told you. We'll go and get Elsa Marie in the kitchen, and she'll just come out. She's a bit old, but yes, sir, we would always stand by a customer.
The customer is always right.
Yeah.
But
I'd really like to have some of that naked sushi. Do you have your own hair?
So on the lunch, I tried to herd the cats to put up their armies. And then voting. And that was like a shit show.
It's always a shit show, regardless of what event it is. Like, when you have to get people to vote.
So for this army display, we had one traitor and one loyalist that you were supposed to vote at. And you were supposed to vote after what you liked, if you for yourself wanted to look at army composition, if you wanted to painting, if you want to look at whatever. Just your vote of heart. That was the ID.
That sounds pretty easy. What was the problem?
To get people to write traitor X and loyalist Y. It's like, didn't fucking work. Some people came with two notes. I was like, I want one. I want. So it was just, yeah. Anyways, I got all the votes finally. After some hard bargains.
Just walking around every lunch place like, did you hand in votes yet? No, we'll do it after. You fucking do it now. Give it to me.
Yeah, sort of.
I like how some TO experiences transcend time and space. It's like the same for everyone.
But it's just organizing 25 people whose brains have turned off for the weekend.
Yeah.
Like we're done with work. I'm not thinking about anything else until Monday.
You can wake me up in the middle of the night and ask them how the deep strike rule works and they're down for that. But if you ask them like basically the stuff, they're going to be forgetting about it. What's your kids' names? I have kids. I'm trying to remember how to do the ambush rule. So then we were back after lunch and you had your second game. Max, did you lose?
I didn't. I played Patrick and his lovely White Scars army in game two. And essentially this game was, we had five objectives, one in the center. Five objectives, one in the center, and then sort of like corners 12 inches in from the long edges, 24 inches in from the short edges. And we were deployed in like the triangles into the middle. Now, for this, and I'm going to preface this by, it's been about 9 months, 10 months since I've played Mechanicum, as or against. And it was obviously just about enough time for me to forget just how good Myrmidons were. So like when I was writing my list, I was like, oh, I'll take a Grav Myrmidon unit and I'll take a Plasma Myrmidon unit and I'll take some Darkfire Myrmidons and it'll be cool. And it just wasn't. Well, Patrick was...
Someone was trying to have a good game and he kept ruining it.
Well, that's it. Like, he's a great guy. Like, we'd been out for a pint the day before, so I was like, oh, we're both hungover. Let's play a game. And he managed to keep spirits up and we had a really fun game. At least he made it look like he was having a fun game. But by the end of the game, it wasn't a matter of skill. It was simply a matter of Myrmidons being very good again. So
he kept having a good game and being a good spirit despite you being there and throwing Myrmidons at him.
Yeah, exactly. So I can't sing his praises high enough. After that game, I decided maybe I needed to change my list. So this is why I didn't want to say what my exact list was at the start, because it actually flipped within the event, because I didn't want another person to have to experience the Myrmidon list.
Well, Patrick's a great guy. I've played against him before and I've met him a couple of times. Like, he's a really nice person. I faced him at Scandus and like I managed to somehow snap shoot down his Siphon with like snap shooting glass cannons because they were twin linked and it just crashed and burned and he took it with a smile on face. Like, he's a great guy.
Yeah, so hope with no bridges burned because he's going to be coming over to the UK to play some Beastmen. He's on a podcast now, Patrick. You've got to do it. But
what's his podcast called?
This one?
No. Oh, I thought you said he had a podcast.
No, it's on this podcast. It's on this podcast, Chris.
Yeah, but it's on the internet. It's here forever now.
Exactly. And it's the truth because it's on the internet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a great game, but I wouldn't like to go through it because it will just be, or anymore, because it will just be a tale of me rolling dice at someone whilst we talked about other things.
Like, so, basically, he was trying to, like... think about stuff that wasn't the game. He was just leaning back and thinking about Norland.
Exactly. So someone else tell me about a game that didn't make you feel like a horrible person.
We should ask Patrick. What was his favorite part of the game that it ended?
I played against Patrick's brother, Roger, with his word bearers and demons. I thought that would be pretty fun for my Sister of Silence. And spoiler alert, they did not think it was very, very fun. They ran away.
This is what they're made of. They were, in fact, not made for this.
No. I am fearless in close combat against, like, demons and stuff. But if they shoot at you, no.
So you're telling me, get in close, lasses. Give them a taste of steel. Oh, no, they're throwing shit at us. Run away.
Exactly like that. But I did manage to shoot a psych-out missile on his, like, Diabolist. And managed to cause 3 wounds. He managed to fail his leadership test and take a Perils of the Warp that did 3 wounds. But other than that, it was purely a downhill. Downhill into like a pile of shit kind of game. But we had lots of fun. It was really fun to try and see what the Sips of Silence would do against demons and word bearers. But Not when you roll all ones on the 2-hit rolls and all 6s on the leadership rolls.
Man, that's... I'm not going to lie, yes, you're kind of bumming me out here.
I think I failed 5 out of 6 leadership tests.
Damn.
In that game.
You need to burn your dice with some sage or something. Did you guys hit an old woman who with her last dying breath cursed your dice or something?
Might be. Because, spoiler alert, this was not the only game that I lost.
But we'll get into that. How about you? Yes. What was your last game? Like, between completely humiliating your opponent so badly you don't even want to talk about it, and I lost so bad I don't even remember the rest of the game, in between those ones and tens, where were you in this game?
I think I was in the middle. I faced Salamanders with Vulcan and a Spartan full of turtle guys with hammers. And I thought, this is going to be harsh. I did manage to win that game, but only through...
cheating and making up new rules, as the TO.
Yeah, sort of. But no, he was not so aggressive with Vulcan and the Turtles. So in good old Savitar fashion, I hit him for 3 turns and then made him take an objective as he had line with his command squad and then just run away. So I kind of cock-blocked his turtles all the way and they took 1 objective in the final turn. And my other Terminators just went down and butchered his squads as much as they could. But it was, if the game had been prolonged 1 or 2 turns, I would have been in a shitter. So, quite fun.
I'm just shocked at a quick and like succinct summary about your game. I'm not used to getting those.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's good. It's just like, with you and Max and Jens, I guess this is what professionalism like looks like, and damn. Okay, so like, yeah, moving on. What was the third game like? Like, so now that's the end of day one, I guess?
Yeah.
So you guys all went down, went out. You got massively pissed of like Bavar shots. You rested up Bjarv.
Yeah, so no Beaver shots because that would have incapacitated like 50% of the players. But there was a fair amount of alcohol consumed and talking smack and heresy all night. And then there was a bit of a tiredness on the morning.
That's what it should be.
Yeah. So as a TO, I opted to not play the third game.
Did you have to give somebody a walkover or?
No, they were, Pontus had, 2 players from the Loyalist side had some issues. So one had migraine and one was really just off.
So hungover and hungover. Got it. So it evened out.
Yeah, sort of. So 2 of us on the traitor side just took a prolonged nap and I could walk around and talk to people, so that was good.
We usually have like the Freddy factor, so like we set up a couch somewhere, so you just take a nap day two.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, good man. Did Max? Were you the guy with the migraine, or were you the guy who just like feeling off?
No, I had gone for too many drinks on Friday night, so I actually called it after like four pints on Saturday because I thought I'll actually bring my winning personality to a game on Sunday. So yeah, went like I had actually told Jens that I wasn't going to drink anything that day, and that. Well, that got swiftly thrown out of the window, but I managed to keep myself in check. I didn't have like one pint and then be like, it's on.
Did it give you the classic, come on? You're like, well, I'm not drinking. They're like, come on.
No, like everyone was chill. Like we talked about like various things. Yaki told me about heraldry and how I was doing it wrong. That lasted for a long time. And then turned up to game three.
Like, when you say you did Heraldrix wrong, like, does he mean for your army or like for your royal lion or?
I've just been choosing random colors that work well together, but apparently this is wrong. And I should be painting my Bretonians with, what is it, white, black, or gold?
Yeah, white, black, or yellow. You uneducated bastard.
You can't stop me.
Yeah. So we talked about heraldry, and obviously it's like, this are the heraldry rules, but I'm not doing that. And then it was on.
Yeah, it's a fantasy world. I'm going to paint them nice colors. They're going to look pretty.
Yeah. Well, it was fun, and I might have consumed a few more pints than you, Max.
No, it was a good discussion. I enjoyed it.
It does speak fairly well for the heresy community that we get drunk and discuss heraldic rules.
Yeah.
Not like sports team or whatever.
No sports team, no politics, no one fighting. But it was a heated argument.
And that's just like angry yelling.
Yeah.
I hope Max at some time in this politely informed discussion said something akin to rules like, didn't my country invent this thing? Whereupon Joachim answered, apparently they didn't.
You never invaded us, you silly sods.
No, invented.
Well, that would be, they never invaded us.
You know? No, but they invented heraldry, basically, didn't they?
No, the French, surely.
I mean, the French and English were pretty similar back then, Max.
I'm not going to rise to that date. Okay. So moving
Richard on. Richard Lionheart indebted England to keep France.
Anyway. I can't do this right now. So, yeah, game three, I played Martin, who was borrowing an army of Raveny Death. So I changed up my army into being a Cybernetica army. So like my Magos was Cybernetica Magos, two Magos Dominus, and a 5 unit of Castellax, a 3 unit of Castellax, and a 2 unit of Castellax, and then 2 Thanatars. Along with that, I had the 9 Thalax and the 3 Domitar. So going into the game, we were moving forward onto objectives and just scoring increasing amounts every turn. So I thought, right, I'm going to get up onto the objectives. He's deep striking like 4 units. What I'll do is I'll just walk up and I'm going to make him respond to my plan and just get some reactions off by using Cyberthurgy. And it didn't quite work out. So I moved up in the turn one. And was like, yeah, I'm doing really well. And then we got to the shooting phase and failed 2 out of my 3 Cyberthurgy rolls. So the only thing in my army that could react were the Thalax and a Thanatar. And it was about that downhill for our game. So He drops in. Dark Furies come screaming down. One of them gets annihilated by the Thanatar. Mathalax are on the other side of the board, unable to do anything. But the on the left side of the board, Mathalax and big unit of Castellax, oh, it all starts going quite well, actually. And that it started swinging about. So I was actually positive at the time. On the other side, it was just a write-off. The Dark Furies were there. They murdered a Thanatar in the drop-in turn and then like proceeded to wipe out the rest of the flank. On the left side, I was like, oh, I might be able to just claw it back and go for a draw. But in the time-honoured sort of way of the Mechanicum, you sort of start out strong normally, and then the crack grenades start happening. They auto-hit, and then they wound you on fours and ignore your armour. And then you blow up, and yes, you do some damage to the enemy, but you do more damage
to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So the battle bots exploding didn't help. And by the end of the game, I'd been tabled. But it was a really fun game. Like, it's one of the things with any army except legions, really. You can't, I don't think, be ultra competitive. I think you can write a list, like say the Myrmidon list, that is just horrendous, but do you really want to play that? Otherwise, it's an uphill battle, so then you can't be upset if the game goes badly for you, because you just got to try and win, fight against the odds, I would say. And it was a really fun opponent. He was only actually his fourth game of Heresy, or third game of Heresy?
Fourth or fifth. He was at my summer barbecue Heresy as well. But the fun thing was that I told him when we had played, we played one game before this just to get the ropes. I said, you have to be more aggressive with your units. You can't stand by. This is not a shooter army. You have to go in with your Dark Furies and just whip some ass and then use the Assault Marines with Melta Bombs if there are any tanks. Go for them, or Dreadnoughts, just pile the bombs on them and let them explode. I saw the setup of the game and I thought, Jesus Christ, he's going to lose. this is going to be, because the counters didn't really, I didn't think that he could counter so well. So I was, it was a fun surprise, although I don't think you thought it was too fun, Max, but I mean, the game is the game.
No, I had a really good game, actually. He was great to play against. Like, he's a really nice guy, and trying to, like, I could see at least a draw being able to happen the entire way. It was just it was just getting slimmer and slimmer chances, so then there's no point giving up. Like, so we actually played the full, I think we played six turns, because we finished it out, and then we're just like, do you fancy just playing another couple of turns, because like, we were just having fun playing the game. And so that's what we ended up doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds really fun, though.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Like, electing to play more turns is never a bad game, rather than being like, fuck you! Like, you've almost tabled me! Bye! No, there was no dummy spat out in that game. I couldn't have been in too bad spirits after he'd have put me to shame if he'd have been so nice while I was doing well against him, and then I was just an utter twat to the next person I played.
I hope that Patrick came by the table like, wow, Max, this seems like horrible to suffer through. Sure seems hard to suffer through, huh, Max? No, he's too nice. He'd never do anything like that.
Yeah, so Jens, on to you.
Yeah, I played against Linus for my third game, my trusty old friend Linus, and he had his Mechanicum.
By the way, Linus is getting ripped.
Oh yeah, all that CrossFit, man.
Yeah, get him the fuck off CrossFit and get him back into like gaining weight. I don't want other people to feel good about themselves.
Yeah, he's shaming us all.
Yeah, the implication, Max, is that we too could be doing better if we applied ourselves.
I don't want to.
No, like, look at him. Now we're going to have to, like, it's going to be like, why don't you guys look like Linus? And we're not going to have any good excuses. He has, like, well-painted armies, too.
Yeah.
So I hope you like snuck some sugar into his beer or something.
Oh, I gave him like a Twix.
Maybe oh, good. Like, do something. Snuck into his room at night and fed him nuggets.
Chicken nuggets.
Yeah. So you guys played, right? What happened?
He played his Mechanicum, and I thought, yeah, my two-handed swords with instant death are going to do so much damage. I did not, in fact, do that much damage. But it was a very even fight. We had, like, he had some great luck with his saving throws. I had some great luck with my saving throws. And it ended up being, I was ahead on 1 point at the end of turn five. And he charged my last remaining squad, my destroyers. I had my Leviathan left and, like, four destroyers. So he charged my destroyers with some Thalax and some, what are they called? The murder robots with the Gatling guns. The Vorax, yes. Yeah. Vorax. And he had to basically wipe the squad to get 1 point up on me. I lost. If he killed them, I would lose like 2 points and he would gain a point. So he would win. And it came down to me not having to fail like a saving throw, a two-up saving throw on two dice. But we all know, like, if you have to roll two dice for two up saving throw, that's like statistically impossible to to pass.
It's like,
so of course I rolled at least one.
It's like if you have a mega tight game and all you have to do is not fail your leadership test on your Predator.
Yeah, exactly. But so he won with 1 or 2 points in that game. But I found out more stuff for the Sisters of Silence 2.0 Redux. Max, I have shenanigans to do.
We need to do a redux.
Apparently, if the list that I took with my like knights and Oblivion Knight and the Silent Judge, I make the Oblivion Knight my warlord so that she gets the Warlord Maiden of Sorrow, which gives extra attacks and movement if she or her retinue takes any wounds. But it also means that if she is in close combat when she dies, she doesn't yield up any victory points for, like, Slay the Warlord.
Ooh.
Yeah, but on the other hand, my Silent Judge gives me an extra point to slay the enemy's Warlord. Whether she lives or dies, she just has to be in the army to give me that extra victory point. So I gain an extra victory point killing your Warlord, and you get none killing mine.
Yeah, you almost want to purposefully get her killed.
Yeah.
Just so, like in combat, so that then you can kill her through shooting.
Yeah,
we do that in Militia too, because if you have Beloved by the People, if he dies, you get a shit ton of bonuses for a turn.
You get a bonus. Yeah. But super fun. It's always nice playing Linus. We always manage to get like down to the last die roll of the game to see who wins.
That's big love to Linus. Yeah, and now he needs to like rest on his laurels and maybe gain some weight.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing the podcast app you're going to do about this as well.
No, maybe one day. You never know.
Bring back Northern Heresy, come on.
One day we will, I promise. It's not dead, it's just resting. It's pining for the fjords.
That which is dead may never die. So, like, final game, I guess.
Yeah, we've got some bad news about that, me and Max. So Jukka has to...
Did Jukka change the rules again to suit himself better, or...?
Oh, no. We were just very tired.
Jesus Christ, the last game. Okay, so we had a few dropouts. As I mentioned before, there was a migraine, and one guy didn't really want to play.
What? So, Well, is this the guy Max played?
No. Just something totally different that happens.
Okay, good.
Life, so, just shit that happens. Anyways.
Okay, yeah.
So, Linus, who played against Jens just now, did a change of loyalty. So, he went down to, we have our gaming club nearby. So, he went and brought his custodes. So, he turned loyalist. Just because that the... There was one loyalist missing for the big table. So me and Hans, who's the co-creator, were to play on the Somatalis just to try it out. So anyways, he comes with his custodes and being paired towards me in the middle table of the three Somatolites. And it was a shit show because they are quite nasty in hand-to-hand combat.
Who'd have thought?
So
craziness.
To get the story short, I just ran up the table, turn one, turn two, faced his Kwan squad in turn two, and in turn three, my entire army was dead.
Long story short, I died.
Yeah, fuck. I killed his one of his dreadnoughts and like two guys. And then he just chewed up all my Terminators and Kwan squad and Savitar and like everything.
So one of the things that I actually thought about the way that you played ZM and set up the ZM at this is it obviously you'd not said beforehand that this is how the table was going to get set up. So we all had armies like for ZM, but I actually really liked how the game in general worked with how you'd set up the board. Do you know what, how the reactions interacted?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was a pretty fun way just to have like a pretty open table and use the ZM rules to play the game.
Yeah,
very convenient.
We did that quite a lot in 1.0. So have open tables with Somatolis rules. Mm-hmm. And we kind of liked that and wanted to try it like, because we wanted the big battle table like for the narrative, but we didn't want to bring like, that would be 9,000 points per side, that would take forever. So this was kind of to get a lot of people playing, interacting and doing stuff on each other's tables and just having fun. So yeah, it worked out really good. The rules worked splendidly, I would say.
Yeah. I am going to go out on a limb and say I actually preferred, I think the Zomatalis reactions work better in the main game than they do in ZM.
True.
And I think the main game's reactions actually end up working better in ZM than the ZM reactions.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you've got two good sets of reactions for main games, like as demonstrated by this table that you had. And in ZM, I think everyone should be playing with the base game's reactions.
Well, I and on reactions, if we're talking like that, I don't like reactions anymore. Because the more games I play, the more I see it skewed towards shooty armies compared to close combat armies. And as I'm preferring playing close combat armies, I feel that I have a disadvantage much, much more than if I would take my Iron Warriors and just shoot the shit out of you.
Yeah, and outside of this event, you can't just change the rules on the fly to make sure you win.
Yeah, I know. So that was just like, I couldn't just remove reactions. That would have been really big. Someone would have noticed.
Yeah, so, but like for the horror, for when we do like the Varangian Harris events, we tend to like limit reactions. And I think like the Malmö people have some extra rule sets. Like they used the Panoptica, if I remember correctly.
Well, I haven't been there, so I don't know. But as you
neither have I, but...
Yeah, as you did to limit the reactions, yes, we thought about, we just didn't want to bring another game into the game, sort of. We have these rules, we'll play them, we'll see how it turns out. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in sort of agreement with that. I they're certainly not perfect reactions, but they're pretty core to how the game operates. I think it messes with quite a few units to be messing about with them. It's more for the ZM that I'm sort of making the comments on where the reactions go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we can talk a lot about reactions and stuff. We shouldn't do that. It's going to take too much time. So.
Varangian episode 129.
Yes. Hey, I'll bring you guys on if your game. Just like drunken reaction episode.
Of course. Is it reactions to our reactions about reactions or...
Yes, reactions to reactions. However, for that one, I don't know how I book a meeting, but Business Max, could you invite Drunken Lout Max as well?
No, all business face, all the time. It's boring now.
I'll come over to England and I'll start asking about stuff like Plowman's and like where I can get some good Branston's pickles. And I'll bring like some proper Swedish booze and we'll see if we can get our drunken lout max.
What's wrong with Plowman's and Branston pickle? Those are just not, you're just naming normal things. Just
yeah, I like those. Normal things. That's what I mean. Like we'll get drunk and we'll go chasing for those and then we'll see if we can get drunk max out.
Yeah, well, on the topic of business versus drunk max, I'll steer the podcast back to something reasonable. Jens, what did you do in the final game?
Don't be too reasonable. Like our fans might get frightened.
I played against you, Max. We play tested our new skirmish game.
So let me see if I got this right. On the second day, on the final game, we're trying to sort everything out, and people are dropping out because they like have issues. You motherfuckers are like, well, you know what? We're gonna try a completely different game.
Well, everyone was already playing when we got back from lunch, so it was like we've already played each other. Basically, we might as well just have fun and do some skirmish games and have a look at other people's games as well.
Yeah, so I think Jens might not have known that I changed away from the Myrmidon list, and that wasn't going to be a fun game for anyone if it was the Myrmidon list. So, yeah, I was supposed to be playing Stefan. Hey, Stefan. And we arranged the game another time because we all got back late. So, skirmish games for the win. It carries on a strong tradition of playing non-heresy games at Swedish heresy events.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, I agree. I've pushed together tables at Scandus before I had to arrange it and just started playing Battlefield Gothic in front of Freddy to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, like me and Nicholas back in the day did that as well. Played Battlefleet Gothic in a ZM table. Pretty upset Freddy quite a lot. But we were going for the space walls like in Runestorm. Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun game you come up with, Jens.
Yeah, it's going to be publicly available pretty soon, I think.
Actually, no, since you talked about it on podcast, it's going to be a Patreon release only. I've not claimed immaterial rights and IP rights. Jens is, of course, also property of the Ragged Heresy podcast.
You also claim the right of Prima Nocta.
Yes, to your game system.
Yes. I demand
a handwritten copy. Wait, is Max the husband?
I'm going to bring this back. So, lunch, second day, we opted to do our prizes before the lunch was done, or before everyone got to lunch, because it's quite far up, people have to travel, so we didn't want them to, like, if they finished the game soon, they could leave.
Mm.
So we had the best painted, that was a unit of at least two models. It could be, yeah, whatever, but at least two models, and there had to be a unit of them. So here, Patrick with the white scars, one didn't, not with a landslide, but he won. So they were quite good competition, I would say. And it's a beautiful unit that he made with landspeeders. No, jet bikes. So he won the painting competition, and we had the two best generals. One of them was Max. He became the people's choice of traitors.
And that's not boo. General as in, like, wacky side. That's general as in the army choice side.
Yeah, the army pleasing, for the eye-pleasing army. And for the loyalists, it was... I have to remember. Boo! Jesus. It was you, and it was... Who was it? I don't remember. This is kind of foggy when you're...
When everything's going on.
Okay. Yeah. You just hand out the prizes, and you shake people's hands.
Yeah, it was Patrick. Again. Patrick's white scars.
Okay, so like, seeing as how the rest of this event was organized, now that Jukka's friend is winning two out of four prizes, did you see him just surreptitiously hand the prizes back to Jukka, who put them under his shirt, or?
Well, what I'd say, Chris, is you might not know because you didn't attend the event, but correct. I'd like to think that we are all friends that went to this event. So yeah. You could yes, say that about anyone.
I do have to wonder, would Max, would Partick agree with that after games on the first day, or?
Yeah, well, he's coming staying at my house later in the year, so.
That's a hostage, or?
Until you leave that positive review, you're not leaving.
Well, that's what I'm all in it for. Just the thumbs ups on the YouTube channel.
Not just a thumbs up. He has to write something too, and it has to be thoughtful and heartfelt.
And then we have the player's choice of best opponent or nicest opponent, which was a fabulous shit show to get the votes in. It was because then
everyone... once again we had to ask Jocke a lot of questions to help vote.
Because this was the last voting and everyone had catched up on that. You asked me at least twice. So, and my brain was just like, yeah. Anyways, the two friendliest persons, it came down to split vote of the dice because a lot of people got high scores. So it became Roger that plays the World Bearers on the
Dragon side,
and Sebastian who played Raven Guards on the Lawyer side.
Nice.
Two very well deserved, I think. I was speaking to him across the weekend. Seemed like top lads.
And only half of them had armies that Jocke gave them.
What the? I only lent out one army. And it tabled maxed.
I deserved that tabling though.
Catharsis by proxies. No, but like, honestly, it seems like a good review. I've spoken to people who went to the event, and like, it seems to be a good time. Also, you get like the swankiest thing to bring with you. You get a medal, right?
Yes. Yes.
We had a diploma for participating. Oof. And
Max is holding up the Max is holding the medal towards the camera. Once again, forgetting that this is an audio medium, Max.
So you could see it.
Okay.
So
Chris will accompany the podcast with a picture of the medal.
I mean, I could if you send me a picture.
Not done it. It's incompetence.
So this is our sort of sign swag. We use medals on every one of our tales. So if you played on every tales, you can just display all your medals on your chest. So there was quite a lot of bling there. And we have a different theme on everything. And this was the Hour of the Wolf, was the name of the event. So, of course, there's a wolf head on the medal. And it's a shout-out for Varje Timmen in Swedish, which is the late hour between 4 or 5 when you sit Firewatch. So that's the wolf hour. So this was supposed to be the last game. And to Solmortalis because you couldn't see well and all that. So, yeah, so medals to everyone. And then we had some stickers and stuff. And a diploma, of course, for participation.
Yeah. I think it was a really successful event. I've been to a few events in Sweden, and it was a really memorable one to come to. Not that Scandus is bad, but I obviously did Scandus in November. That was coming out all wrong.
Well, like most of the events I've been in Sweden, this was a good one with good lunch. We get it, Max.
Yeah, it was definitely worth coming. I'd recommend it to anyone. Like, not just Swedes. It was a really enjoyable event to go to. And it is also a good time of year to see the Northern Lights, which is a really good experience to go out on the Sunday night and see.
Yeah, but I mean, you're becoming like a steady fixture on the Swedish heresy scene, Max. It's much appreciated.
Well, it works out the same price to go... a bit more to go to this one because it involves a secondary flight from Stockholm to Umeå. But to go to a Swedish event or to just go overseas, like if the Danes start running events again, it's definitely worth checking out just hopping between countries because you can get flights for £50 to all the UK people, which like you'll spend that on a tank of fuel to get to.
Yeah, we love having you over. Like, it was nice meeting you, and like the other, I mean, it was fun meeting Phil.
It's all right meeting Phil, but
it's like a 2 out of 5 at least.
At least, yeah. A strong 2.1.
Yes.
But yeah, he's definitely worth going. I'm going to be looking to go again next year. So definitely a thumbs up from me.
Yeah, super nice hotel, very well run event, good food, good people.
Good gym.
Good gym as well. Felt a bit lonely there on the Saturday night, Max, or Sunday night. Should have joined me.
I would have joined you.
I know. I'm glad you didn't.
Whoa. I keep telling you, if you don't think a person can lift more than 50 kilos, you're not going to be able to lift more than 50 kilos. That's on you, not me, Jens.
All right.
Yeah, so we are already planning the next event. And as I said, the Traitors has lost, and now they're going to probably raid a planet with doing some virus bombing. So we're looking at trench warfare next time.
Yes!
So that's going to be, I think, the main event. Doing lots of infantry running across trenches.
Is that next year?
That will be next year. And probably, though, we will delay it a bit to March due to workloads for the organizers in the real life.
I like the sound of this. That's basically what I've made my entire Death Guard army niched towards. Then I can finally field my like 65 tacticals. Because like in an ordinary game of Heresy, 65 tacticals is not an optimal way of running an army without transports.
Yeah. But are you not saddling up the militia for that event?
Oh, I could.
It should be a militia only event.
It's like human only.
The back pains of people on day.
We used, I don't know if you remember, but like the Varangian Heresy, mainly Fred, used to have like a tank only event once a year.
Yeah, with the alternating activations for the tanks. Yeah. I tried that out a couple of months ago, actually. It's really good. Chris, link the tank mode rules in the description below.
If I find them, yes.
Come on. He's got to get better. Where's the Varangian database?
I'll talk to our techie guy about it. Wait, we don't have one. Well, I'll bring it up to the editor. Oh, same guy. No, but like honestly, it was good having everybody on here. I do feel a bit outvoted as a soft southern pansy, but hey, that's on me. I chose to live down here in the capital. It's been good having you guys over, and thanks for coming and telling me about the event. Is there anything else you want to shout out, Jukke or Jens or like Max, event wise or otherwise?
Yeah, event wise, so... look for sorry, Jukke, you go ahead. I'll have a think before I speak.
Okay, so
I never do.
We're going to try to do perhaps a painting. Get together in the autumn, and then next year we're going to do this event again, and we're going to do it. We would do the promotion at 30k Sweden, and of course you, Chris, always promote us, so look out on usually Facebook. We don't do anything else, so.
Yeah, we have the Discord too, reach out at events.
Yeah.
It's easy to find good events and good people.
Yeah, that's about it.
So we've got coming up, sadly, depending on how you look at it, sadly for anyone listening, our next Heresy event has sold out already, but we've got an Old World event on the 8th and 9th of June, which is Brewery Towns Burning, which will be run in Manchester, where you take a trade caravan which I've got trade caravans behind me, across the Cathay from the Old World, and we'll have basically merchants and the raiders trying to see.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds really good. When is that?
So that's the 8th and 9th of June. Tickets on sale now. Chris, drop it in the comments. Drop it in the description.
Yeah, hit me a link and I'll do it.
Yes, I will do as soon as we're off this. And yeah, it's going to be a narrative event rather than a sort of like competitive tournament event. We've got character progression for the general of the army, or I suppose whoever wants to pick what character. And yeah, should be fun.
Yeah, and I've finally got my brain working. So if you feel like you fancy maybe a skirmish game set in the early medieval period, just let me know. Send a message or keep a lookout for some fancy new game coming out pretty soon.
And if you don't know who Jens is and you don't want like unsolicited contact a person in their DMs to get their war games, just hit up the podcast and we'll send them the right way.
Send them the wrong way.
Max is going to get a bunch of like messages. Hey, about that war game you made.
Well, that would also be the right place because I know where it is. So if anyone wants it and doesn't trust Chris, I will be spamming it everywhere as well because I'm deeply invested in this game.
And you are a YouTube influencer.
Don't use that word.
He's an e-celebrity and nothing less.
Don't use that word.
Okay, well, if you want to get a hold of Max's bath water, don't hesitate.
I only sell used underwear.
Jesus Christ.
He doesn't sell used underwear.
If I took a bath, I'd have less stink to put on the underwear. That I couldn't then sell.
He doesn't sell underwear as a joke. He obviously gives it away at the highest of Patreon reward levels. Alongside a used toothbrush.
Exactly. And I'm not going to tell you where that was used.
No, that's a part of the mystery.
Cracking.
Very fun, everyone.
Yeah.
Good. So, good talk. Thank you for having us on, Chris.
Yes, and I am furiously looking for the command to stop the recording.
Bye, everyone.
On that note, don't forget, be fulcrum in the sheets and be angry in the streets, and don't
lose your head.
But we don't lose your head. Okay.